Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you here like magicians or illusionists? Anybody here like to watch them? Yeah, oh, yeah, Carl's hand went right up there. Yeah, we had gone to see David Copperfield. That's got to be 30 years ago, I know. It was 30 years ago, and we had gone to see David Copperfield, and, you know, when I watch this on television, I'm like, yeah, I sort of don't believe anything that's on television anymore, because you could do anything, right, with cameras and stuff like that. But when we were there, it was like, oh my gosh, how did this man do it? And all I did was focus on how did this man do it, that I forgot to enjoy the show and just sit back and understand that there were other things that were going on, because I was just concerned about the mechanics of it. It's sort of like, slow down, David. I want to see how you're making this happen. I want to figure it out. And you know something, sometimes that's how we can tend to view our gospel today, the miracle of the feeding of well over, we got to say at least 10,000 that were there, because we know it was 5,000 men. And so we tend to perhaps focus on the mechanics. How? What did it look like? Like, did all of a sudden all this food appear? Or was it each time they tore a piece of the bread to give to someone, there was just more and more and more of it? I mean, how did it happen? And it's really a mystery. And because we are rational people that have a rational mind, if we can't figure it out, what do we usually say? That could not have happened. And so we begin to question whether or not the miracle actually took place. When I was at seminary, oh my gosh, it must be about, it's crazy to say, probably about 9 or 10 years ago. I was asked to assist at communion. It was during the convocation. There were hundreds of pastors, actually, that were there, came back for this conference, as well as seminary students and professors. And the dean of students, Patricia Lull, who now is a bishop in Minnesota, she was presiding at worship, and I was her assistant. And when it came time for us to do communion, and we went behind the altar, and it was a chalice, but it was a pouring chalice, so that means it just had like a little connect, you know, hook to it, so you could pour it into big cups. They were cups about this big, not little ones, big cups. And it was ceramic like this. And when I looked down in it, it was a lighter color type ceramic. I saw there was only a little bit of wine left, just a little bit. And I looked at her, and, well, that was really all that was left. So it was like she held her cup up, and I poured it, and I said the words to her, body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for you. And as I poured, don't you know her cup that was that big filled up to the top? And I looked in there, and she looked in there, and there was just a little tiny bit, the same amount that we had started out with in the beginning. And then she took that pouring chalice, and I held my cup, which was about that big, because they gave you hefty amounts of wine. I don't know why, but seminary gives you hefty amounts of wine. And she began to pour. And she said those words to me. And she said, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for you, Marianne. And as she poured, it filled all the way up to the top. I drank my wine. We both looked down. And there was just a little bit left, the same as we had started out with. And we looked at each other. We put the chalice down, I cleaned the altar, we sat down, amazed at what we had both just experienced. And when that service was over, and we were standing back at the baptismal font, she said, did that just happen? And I said, oh, that just happened. And she said, the feeding of the 5,000. And I said, yes, indeed. And we will never forget this. That happened. So maybe now I am beyond the figuring out how this happened. And I think it's important to get beyond how this happened so that we can get to the meat of what's really going on here. Because there's something much deeper that's happening in this story that we hear today than the mechanics of how did five loaves of bread and two fish feed probably 10,000 people. So I'm going to go through this story again because I really want us to understand this. We started out hearing these words. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. What the heck did Jesus just hear? Jesus heard that his cousin, the one who baptized him in the water, John the Baptizer, had just been beheaded by Herod, because that's what Herod's stepdaughter wanted, Salome, who danced for Herod at a lavish party that he threw in his honor, and said to the girl, you have pleased me, I will give you whatever it is that you want. And that's what she asked for. And so Jesus just heard that the head of his cousin was delivered on a platter and presented to Salome. Grief, incredible grief is what he was feeling. And so he withdrew to his deserted place. You know, when we go through grief, when we are in significant pain, the last thing that we want to do is to be around people, if we're really honest with ourselves. We just want to go to a place where we can be alone. And that's what Jesus did. He went to a place where he could grieve privately. But when the crowds heard it, the it is where Jesus went, they followed him on foot from the towns. So Jesus goes to a place that's deserted, and all of a sudden, all of these people, we're talking of masses of people, at least I say 10,000, are coming to him. And why are they coming to him? Well, because they heard Jesus is there, and Jesus has been healing the sick. These are the people who do not have access to doctors. They can't afford to go to the doctor, and here is the healer in the wilderness. And what are they going to do? Pack up their families and start walking. Now, this isn't as if they're planning for this, like if you're going to go and camp out all night because you want to get, you know, access to tickets, right, where you bring your food or your friends will bring you food and take care. No, that's not what's going on here. This isn't camping out all night so that when the stores open for Black Friday, you're the first in to buy something and so you bring food. No, this is desperate people saying, let's go now. We need to get in front of this healer. And they go. That's it. They drop everything and they go. They didn't plan for staying there they didn't even think about the fact that they would be there for such a long period of time. Now, when Jesus went ashore to this deserted place, he saw the great crowd and he had compassion for them. Compassion. The root of that word is a Latin word and it means to suffer with. So he suffered with them in how they were feeling and he cured their sick. Remember how many people we're talking about. He spent the entire day curing the sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, hey, this is a deserted place and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves. You know, the disciples had to have been just as exhausted as Jesus was. And the disciples knew John the Baptist. Many of them were his followers, so they too were grieving over the loss of their friend. And they're just exhausted at this point. And it's like, really, Jesus, just send them home so they can eat. Have you ever gotten to that point in your life where you just stand there and say, like, I'm done. Like, I've had a long day. I'm done. I can't go on any further. So, you know, get these people out of here. What does Jesus say? They need not go away. You give them something to eat. Now, the disciples were human. Can you imagine their reaction? Like, what is he kidding? I mean, seriously, we're going to feed all these people, you know? Exactly. What the heck are you talking about? Like, I'm just as done as you are, Jesus. Please, this is not the time, okay, for us to start, you know, this. And they say, look, we have nothing, right? He says that. They replied, we have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. Think about that. We have nothing. Just 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's not nothing. To the creator of the world who created out of nothing. Literally nothing. But don't we do that? It was sort of like when I was looking in the cup saying, oh, there's nothing here. But really, there was a little tiny bit of wine left. You have nothing. What does Jesus say? Well, bring them here to me. And then he orders the crowds to sit down in the grass. So they've been standing this whole time because they want to get to the healer. And they're going to push and shove their way to get to the healer. He takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Jesus looks up to heaven. He blesses this meal, breaks the loaves, and gives them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. Interesting, isn't it? They wind up feeding the crowd. Where he said, you feed them, they're thinking, where are we going to get the food from? But you see, Jesus, God, provided the food. They did feed the crowd. They walked through, up and down, tearing off bread. Were they a whole bundle of loaves, or perhaps it was one loaf that they're not even looking, and as they're tearing it and giving it out, there just happens to be more there. And the same with the fish. And with their hands and with their feet, they are participating in this ministry of God's. Everybody ate. And they were filled. This word in Greek, I want you to think about how you feel when you've eaten a Thanksgiving dinner. There's no other way to describe it. You know when you've overeaten in your life, and you're like, oh my gosh, if I eat another thing, I'm going to burst. That's what we're talking about here. And these are people who are food marginalized. They are food insecure. These are the poor people who not only have no access to healthcare, so, you know, to doctors, but they also have no access to steady food. And so now, probably for some of them, the first times in their life, they are stuffed to the gills, as we would say. And what do the disciples do? They have to go, and they are now told, in essence, to clean up what's left. And what does that amount to? 12 baskets of food that is left over. God not only provides in this time, in this place where there was nothing, supposedly, but 5 loaves and 2 fish, but called the disciples to go and do the feeding, and then they discover that is more than they could have imagined. They're stuffed and they're still leftovers. They took up what was left over, the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides the women and the children.
Jesus did not do this alone. The disciples were called to participate in this ministry work. We are called to participate in this ministry work because the story here is about a God, yes, who provides for us in everything that we need and provides abundantly more than we need, but also it's the story of discipleship. What does it look like to be a disciple? What does it look like to be a follower of Jesus, a follower of God Emmanuel, God with us? What does it look like to be the people of living faith, living our trust in a faithful God, that we have a living, faithful God? Many of you participate in the Bridge Christian Outreach. On Friday mornings is where we go. There's 5% of our offerings that go to this ministry where we are distributing food to those who are food insecure. Every Thanksgiving, we put together what we call the pluck the feather from the turkey. And we provide meals along with other congregations. And one of the years, something amazing had happened. We are always nervous, right, that we have enough. Do we have enough turkeys? Because the last thing that you want to do is not have a turkey for someone. And so everyone comes forward, everything is done, somebody goes into the truck where the turkeys are, and they say, oh, this was perfect because there's no more turkeys left. I was like, are you sure there's no more turkeys? No more turkeys. I looked everywhere. There's no more turkeys. And then up comes running a gentleman who says, I'm so sorry I'm late. I couldn't get off of work on time. You know, I'm sorry. Do you have a turkey? And someone said, oh, gosh, we're out. We don't have any more. And someone else said, you know, just go back in that truck and check again and make sure there's none. And the other person said, listen, I checked everywhere. There's no more turkeys. Person went anyway into the truck. Let me just look. Goes to the back. What's there? A turkey. Comes out with the turkey and said, there's a turkey in here. And gives that turkey to the person. And we all looked at each other. And that person that had gone in there said, I'm telling you, I did not see any more turkeys in there. And you know something? I totally believe that person. I believe that there was no turkey in there. I believe that God provided right when we needed it. This last Friday, there were 4 people that came up for food just when we were getting ready to put everything away. And we were able to provide 4 boxes of food for those 4 people who came at the last minute. We are called not to say no, but to say how. How can I help? What can I do? We come here every single week as Christ followers, as the children of living faith. And every week we come and we hear God's word of promise for us, and we receive and we taste the gifts of forgiveness, the grace of forgiveness and of love and reconciliation. We are blessed, and then we are sent out of this place to be the hands and feet of Christ in the world, to participate in what God is already doing in the world. And that's why, if you look at the bulletin on the front, it says, I should know this by heart, but I want to make sure I get it right. Everything we do, everyone we meet, everywhere we go, we are Christ's hands and feet. So when Jesus tells us to do something, and we say, but we only have, we're small, we only have, Jesus is going to say, just do it, and we'll provide for what it is that we need. So very simply put, everything we do,
everything we do.
That was your cue. Everything we do,
Everything we do.
Everyone we meet.
Everyone we meet.
Everywhere we go.
Everywhere we go.
We are Christ's hands and feet.
We are Christ's hands and feet.
Because we are a missional church who is called to participate in the activity that God is doing out there in the world. So as I say at the end of every service, let's go. Amen.
Amen.